In the conversation about meditation, there's a lot of discussion about the effects of meditation, relaxation, calm, all of the things that people get from meditation, but there's very little discussion about mindfulness. And this question is to do with mindfulness. And it's a long question, but the bit that I'm going to respond to is I understand the importance of meditation because when I do it, I can feel my body relaxing and my mind unwinding. But mindfulness escapes me. So could you possibly put me out of my misery and explain it one more time in an audio blog? Now, what I notice about most people when they talk about mindfulness is that they speak about it as if it's a different thing to meditation. But it's not. Meditation is mindfulness, and mindfulness is meditation. When you're practicing meditation, you're essentially training the mind to be mindful. And when you're mindful, you're as attentive and centered in your daily life as if you were meditating. So you see, the two are one. When you practice meditating, you're not just learning to relax, you're training yourself to be mindful. Because mindfulness is much more important than just two sessions of meditation a day. It's mindfulness that gives your life back to you as something that you have a degree of control over rather than something that has control over you. So let's talk about mindfulness a bit. The usual untrained mind has learnt very bad habits from the kind of life we lead. Basically, our modern culture trains us to sit in our head, dreaming and concocting plans, whilst relying on our body to do everything for us. And this is a little bit like, to use a clumsy analogy, it's like we're driving a car while watching a DVD, so we can't see when there's a turn in the road, and we crash. Now, I'm not saying that habits are bad. They're not. We need them. We build life habits so we can do things automatically, all the mundane stuff of our life. So a major part of our life is the learning of habits to do all these things, to talk, to walk, to clean ourselves and do our work, and all the other skills that we use in a life, thousands and thousands of things that we do automatically, as well as all the other stuff in between, how to drive the car to get to work, how to cook, make the bed, mow the lawn, pay the bills, and so on. We do all these things automatically so we don't have to think about them. And that's the nature of a habit. It's an automatic pattern, if you like, of behavior. And in fact, if we look at the average life, you see that it's basically a patchwork of these automatic habits. So because we don't have to think about what we're doing most of the time, we've also learnt another bad habit, which is to let our habits do everything for us while we sit in our head thinking about other things. So we drive to work while thinking about a holiday in Bali. We work while dreaming of sex, perhaps, or food. We cook while worrying about money. We eat while being angry about something someone said. So you see what I'm saying. I think most people in the kind of culture we live in live most of their life while actually being elsewhere, in their head, with their body using muscle memory to drive their car, work, cook, mow the lawn and everything else. They're not actually present. They're wandering about in the limitless dream in their heads. So preoccupied like this, most people are rarely present to the experience of life as it actually is, as experience. In fact, it's quite possible for most people to have reached the end of their life without having been there much at all. Because when you add everything up, the work that we have to do, which is mainly mental, the entertainment, and the chat and all of the other dross that we have to deal with in our life, we find that most of what we do is in our head. And so one could almost say we spent our life elsewhere. Now, this wouldn't be so bad if the environment in our head was always fun, pleasant, relaxing. But it's not. Usually what happens is we're at the mercy of whatever mood is passing through, and if that mood is particularly unpleasant, then our thoughts are also unpleasant. Or if we're worried about something, we can't stop thinking about what we're worried about, and that's a form of torture. And why can't we stop? Why can't we change the way we feel? Because after all, we say it's my mind, don't we? But in fact, it's not. Because, like everything else, our habits of thinking have become automatic, such that once the thinking has begun, we can't stop. Because that's the nature of thinking. That's the nature of thinking as we've come to use it. And of course, then we're at the mercy of all the other things in our head, the negative angst left over from our childhood. Because we're always in our head, we can never be free of those experiences. So as our body totters along its trail of learnt habits, our past is always there, pulling at our sleeve, whispering its thoughts in our ear. So all of this mental concocting that we do, and the fact that we're at its mercy, inevitably leads to a suffering that is particularly human. I'm talking about anxiety attacks, profound depression, melancholy, worry, and all of the other forms of madness we humans are known for. Animals don't have these problems. And why? Because the only life they live is the one they are physically in right now. That is to say, they're constantly present in their life, while we are more likely to be, as I said, elsewhere. And you only have to watch a cat walking along the top of a fence to see this mindfulness at work. Every placing of their paws is known completely in every moment. As such, every action they make is very accurate. Everything that they do in every moment is attended to with a very delicate and momentary precision. And that describes mindfulness. When we're mindful, we're paying attention to every moment of every action we make. We're not thinking about what we're doing, we're feeling it. We're feeling everything our body does. For example, as we reach for a cup of tea, we feel every muscle in our arm changing and tensing and relaxing and moving. And then we feel our hand clasp the cup, and then we feel our arm and hand lift the cup to our lips. We feel the motion of our body as we stand up to cross the room, and then feel our body walking, eating, and everything it does. In every moment, we feel our body living its life. This is mindfulness. We feel all the sensations that we usually miss because we're too busy thinking. We feel all the actions that we make that we usually miss because we're too busy thinking. We feel it all. We're not thinking about it. We feel it. And because we feel everything as it happens, then accidents rarely happen because we know what we're doing as we do it. We're more graceful because we sense the most efficient way to move in any action. We sense more of what is around us because we're not so preoccupied with thinking. So we can judge environment and sense danger if it's present. But most importantly, when we're mindful, we are present. And because we're present, we always have a choice as to which action to make at any one time. We're not just letting a habit take us where it's habitually used to going. So instead of our habits mindlessly driving us into actions that don't serve us well, or which create unpleasant effects, with mindfulness we can choose to act differently because we're aware of which habits are trying to manipulate us at any one time. After all, you can't change a habit if you're constantly elsewhere, because you'll have already eaten the bar of chocolate by the time you've realized you shouldn't have. You'll have already lit the cigarette before you've realized you've decided to give up, and so on. So with meditation, quite aside from its minor effects of being a very relaxing thing to do and clearing the mind and helping the body to rejuvenate and all that stuff, it's mindfulness that is our main purpose. It's mindfulness that's the main game, as I've described it in another post. You're training your mind to be here now, to know every moment, so you can model your life in the only place where you have the opportunity to model it, in this moment, now, in the present. So let's look at how you're creating mindfulness in meditation. First, as you meditate, you're training the attention, which usually is flitting about so fast you don't even know what it's doing. So when you meditate, you take command of it and you train it to calm down, to slow down, to be able to focus on one thing at a time and know it as an experienced event rather than as a thought event. And what do you find? The more you practice and the longer you practice for, the more you find that you're aware of what your attention is doing as it does it in your life. And this awareness is not a thinking thing. You're not thinking about what your attention's doing. You're simply feeling it. So as you practice meditation, mindfulness naturally will begin to appear in your life. And the more you practice, the more you find that you can be still and aware for longer and longer periods of time. And you find, because you're aware of what your attention is doing in any one moment, the mind is becoming more centered, more concentrated, and more responsive to direction. Instead of your attention flitting here and there, getting lost in whatever habitual whims are arising as you do something, it focuses on whatever you need it to focus on. Okay, so that's what you're practicing when you're meditating. That's the goal. You're training the mind to change its ways, to shift its emphasis from thinking about everything to feeling everything, which gives you more control over what the mind does, how it reacts, and it leads it to a more intuitive way of living. But it's not enough to just practice this in meditation. The meditation, in a way, is just a theatre, a workshop where you're learning this skill. But like any skill, you have to take it into life and apply it for that skill to actually come to life. Only then will this new set of habits that mindfulness is become a part of your life experience instead of simply a dead skill set in your heads. So mindfulness in life, how do we apply it? Well, first and foremost, you must slow down. By that I mean slow down your actions so that you can feel what you're doing as you do it. Now, this is difficult at first because you're used to letting all your habits do everything. But now I'm asking you to re-examine what you do, to know what you're doing as you do it. So you must slow down. Try never to rush. Always do things as methodically as possible, one action after the other. As my teacher used to say, don't rush, just move a little faster. And what he meant by that was, when we rush, we sort of get ahead of ourselves, so to speak. We lose awareness, and that's when mistakes and accidents happen. So the first rule of mindfulness is only ever move as fast as your awareness of what you're doing. So in bringing this skill of mindfulness into your life, rather than trying to be mindful of everything all at once, just try playing with it when you think of it, when you remember to do it. For instance, if you're reaching for something and you remember to be mindful, just switch your attention from thinking about whatever you're thinking about to feeling the action that you're making as you reach for the cup, and reach for the cup very slowly. Grip the cup, lift it to your mouth, drink, lower it, and just be aware of all those actions as you make them. So you're playing with this new skill whenever you think to do it. You're paying attention to the actions you're making, moment by moment, just as a mental exercise, to make those actions as perfect as possible. And the same thing goes for all the other things we do. When you're walking, re-examine this habitual action you make every day, just for fun. As you walk, see if you're doing it well. Are you properly balanced? What muscle tensions are happening that don't need to be happening? Feel the body walk in each moment. And if you feel you've developed a bad habit, then see if you can adjust it as you walk along. In this way, every action we make can be re-examined. And you do this in the spirit of play. You're just mucking about. How you sit, how you stand, how do you pick up a glass? Everything you do can be re-examined. Treat each action the same as you treat the main object in meditation. Just pay attention to it without thinking about it. Pay attention to the way it moves, to the way the muscle tensions change, to everything that happens within each of the actions you make. And keep trying to slow your actions down to see how many moments of each action you can feel, just as you do with the main object in meditation, and so on. The more you play about with this application of mindfulness in your life, the more the habit you're building in meditation will merge seamlessly with everything you do. And gradually you'll notice yourself naturally being aware of your body moving, naturally being conscious of each action. Not only that, you'll begin to find that because you've been focusing on how things feel rather than thinking about other things, in having examined the sensations of the body as you make these actions, you naturally become aware of more sensations. You can feel more than you can now, such that thinking, it's almost as if thinking and sensations become integrated as intuition, in which you think with your whole body instead of just your head. A lot of things will change the more you play with this and the more you practice it in meditation. Practicing in meditation, playing within your life, playing within your life, practicing in meditation. But most importantly, you'll find yourself taking pleasure in the simple sensual experience of being alive. And there's a lot to take pleasure in that we currently aren't aware of because, as I've said, you're usually abstracted someplace in your head. So practice this as much as possible when you remember, and try to remember when you meditate that the training doesn't end when the meditation is finished. As you stand up from meditating, remember to practice mindfulness as much as you can. Never stop. Thanks for listening.